everybody. This is Armand DeMel with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. In the studio with me, Lauren Sykes, Linda Vanilla. Been dealing with a lot of people's reactions, different kinds of reactions. I'm going to want to ask you about some of your reactions, too. I want to ask you about your reactions to the last few days, the weather phenomenon. You know, Irene. Right? First I had iPhones, then I had iPads, now I've got Irene. How did Irene affect you? What about it? What about your feelings? What about your emotions? Got triggered by Irene. Nobody talks about that. They talk about what happened. They talked about the flood. They talked about the rain. They talked about, well, what happened when they battened down your hatches? So I was speaking to Lauren a little earlier, and Lauren had quite a bit to say about it, how she felt about it being a New Yorker who was kind of inundated. Lauren, what was it you were talking about, the way you felt about the news reports?
I just felt, you know, from the newscaster's perspective, I think there was too many parallels that were being made to Hurricane Katrina. So I think there was a lot of sensationalized imagery and, you know, warnings that, you know, definitely were warranted because, of course, you can never better be safe than sorry.
I'm not sure about that. That phrase goes too long a distance.
Really?
I mean, people use that to kill other people. Right? We may as well kill those people on the other side of town because we better be safe than sorry.
Okay. Well, just a little preparation definitely is key, but I just think it was just much too much and people got frantic for no reason. Because just to logically think about geographically where we are, it was definitely going to do damage, but not to the extent of, say, somewhere in the Caribbean or, you know, Louisiana.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because one of the other phenomenon was what happened to people as their heads got battened down. It wasn't just, you know, battened down the windows. When you keep getting this constant driving at your head, it's almost like the Iraq War. The idea is to get you into a hypnagogic state of mind so that you become automatic. And now what's interesting is you go out looking for water. And they say you've got to have enough water because if you don't have enough water, there's danger. Well, where I live, which is in Manhattan, in all the years of my life, water was never the issue. We're going to find water, but people were actually going to drugstores to get filtered water because there was no water left anywhere. And everything was gone, every bagel, every shop. I know so many people who have got food that they've got to throw away because the food was taken out. But then this other strange thing happened. It wasn't an air of cooperation. It was an air of kind of alienation. I've got to get my batteries. You know, I've got to get my water. I'm not going to cooperate with you. Can you have it? No, you can't have it. I've got to have it. But it wasn't combative. It was almost like you had to tune the other people out. Did you see that, Linda, when you were shopping?
I did, Armand. I did see that. And it was something very unusual. When I was in the stores, there was a feeling of a survival mode. I mean, it wasn't that people were aggressive towards one another, but there seemed to be each man for himself. It wasn't an air of cooperation. The conversation was, okay, you know, let's be sure we're all prepared and ready to go. So I felt even in the street that there was a sort of somberness among people, and I too was concerned and thoughtful of what we were doing with our minds. You know, were we so corralled by this? Were we in this trance of survival? And, you know, it was a very interesting time of introspection for me.
Well, interestingly you say that, because during that time of survival, people were gone. Now, when you talk about depersonalizing, it's kind of when you leave your mind behind and your body walks somewhere else. So it seemed to me that if the spirit were taken out of everybody, therefore nobody really cared about anyone else, but they were just going along, doing their things, getting ready for this thing to happen. but so worked on by the media. I mean, there were guys, you know, one of the worst jobs you could have in the media is weatherman. Weatherman is where everybody starts. They started weatherman, and they started weatherman so that it's like, hopefully you're going to get a news reporter job. Well, suddenly the most important person was the weatherman. And suddenly the weatherman is gesticulating and showing his best clothing and, you know, let's get back right to Tony Hart because he's going to be, you know, telling us about how the different storm is happening. So all of this took place. And then, of course, there was a reaction in so many places. I've seen towns that were flooded. I've seen people in danger. I know of people who died. I also know of people who were moved out of hospitals that were moved back to hospitals. How did it affect you emotionally? Now, I'm asking you, the audience, 212-209-2900, because nobody asked about emotional reaction. Everybody said, what did you do? What happened to your feelings during that time? 212-209-2900. We're going to take some calls because no one's taking these calls. And while we're waiting for you to call in, I want to address another issue. And this is an issue about that someone wrote to me and asked me about. She said, you know, I wake up in the morning sometimes and I feel nasty. Just plain nasty. And I feel nasty towards the man I love. She lives with a guy and she says, I react nasty. And yet he hasn't done anything, but yet he gets these nasty reactions from me. And she was asking about it, and I wanted to approach that just for a moment. Because nastiness is a kind of an irritability that you feel when you're walking around. You know, people who are nasty, they're kind of irritable. Meaning that this is a person who is on the verge of getting angry. So nastiness foretends or tells you that a person might be getting angry at any moment now. And you never know what causes it. Could it be too much coffee? Could it be chemical? Could it be something you ate? Could it be the way you slept? Usually, irritability will attract you to something that will perpetuate the irritability rather than reduce it. So a person who feels irritable doesn't go and do yoga. A person who feels irritable decides they're going to have another cup of coffee. You see, most people who are irritable are riding a wave of irritability. And they're kind of keeping it going and keeping it going. That's why they don't take deep breaths. That's why they don't meditate. The irritability is a force itself. And the reason that they do that is because the irritability itself is a lie. Now, what does that mean? Okay, a lie. The lie is that something in the present is what's bothering you. So a person wakes up and they feel irritable and they can complain about the toothpaste, they can complain about the stains, they can complain about the apartment and how it looks, they can complain about anything. They could just be, it's just a nastiness. But the truth is that the source of the irritability is always in the past. It's always in the immediate past. So, thinking that you, So if you look back, you'll generally find something happened right before, a day before, that annoyed you. But you weren't able to express that anger. And then that anger went to work on you overnight. See, and then when it gets to where, when you wake up, it's still working at you looking for expression. And usually the irritability is not towards the person who deserves your anger. It's usually towards someone else. So let's say you speak to your father on the phone and you get angry at your father, but you can't express your anger. Next morning, you feel irritable towards your roommate. It's usually that kind of a bridge. So what do you do in these cases? Well, when somebody's irritable and you love them, what do you do? You notice the irritability, you could join them. You become irritable with them and then the two of you could have a fight. That's one thing you could do. Or you could see it in your partner. And you could see the irritability. And know this is not about you. That's the important thing, is to separate out. And don't get engaged in an argument about who's at fault. But somehow find a way to embrace them, to hold them dear, even without touching them. Because that's what it needs. An irritable child is looking to be loved, but can't find a way to do it. And almost every irritable person I ever met was just that. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Our telephone number is 212-209-2900. We're talking about the reaction to the storm that just passed through and the emotional reaction. Or you could talk about irritability as well. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. 212-209-2900.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, Armand. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Two things about the storm. I just about never get any calls, I'm embarrassed to say. But I got three men called from various parts of the country to find out how I was doing.
Wow.
Which made me feel at least somebody cares if I live or die. An ex-husband, my son-in-law, and a brother.
Wow.
And
what's your name?
My name is Ann. I've called before.
Yes, I thought I recognized your voice, Ann. Ann, did the same thing happen to you with 9/11?
9/11, one of the brothers called.
One of the brothers called to see how you were.
Yes, and the son-in-law was supposed to take me along with my daughter and granddaughter to the to their country place that day, but they canceled on me. They didn't have room for me because they had to take their two cats, which I probably would have wanted them to do anyway.
That was at 9/11, not during the...
Yes, okay. That's right. I was.
How did you fare during the storm, ma'am?
This storm now? Okay, but the thing that the most emotional thing for me was a TV reporter was out in the country where it was totally silent, and she said she had heard about animals acting strangely, and I think she said she actually heard for the first time rabbits screaming, rabbits who are normally you can't hear them, she actually, I think, her, and that really touched me.
Wow.
It frightened me in a way to think that they were so disoriented and threatened, the rabbits. I suppose I'm identifying, I don't know.
Right, but, you know, I could hear it. How would you be like that, Ann? Are you a rabbit that has a scream inside her that just can't be heard by anybody?
I scream way too much. I'm one of those people you tell to shut up.
Yeah.
But I had gotten a pet rabbit for my daughter once because I'm allergic to cats. And I wound up getting stuck with it after she moved.
So, Ann, if you were to write your life story, we would call the book The Scream of Rabbits. The Scream of Rabbits.
Wow, that's fantastic.
That's a great title for you.
Yes.
Yeah, you got it, and you have the title now, all you need, and you have your name, so all you need now is to fill in the book.
Here I go. I hope no one steals it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling in, Ann.
All right, bye.
212. You better not steal that. That's Ann's book, The Scream of Rabbits. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Armand. This is Scott calling from Westchester. Love your show.
Hello, Scott.
How are you?
Good.
Well, you know, up here in Westchester, we had a lot of flooding, and there was, you know, a lot of damage caused by Irene to some of the cities here. A lot of cities lost power. Like Mount Kisco, Bedford, that area. So a lot of businesses are suffering. But, I mean, what I noticed right from the start is I don't watch TV. I watch only, like, alternative media. I listen to WBAI a lot. I listen to Alex Jones. So I'm really suspicious of, you know, disasters nowadays, because I know that disasters are, you know, like, what was it, Rahm Emanuel, who said, never let a good crisis go to waste.
Exactly.
My feeling is that, you know, the disaster was produced, not only on the level of, you know, like the corporate media all up and down the East Coast of the United States producing this hysteria. And I knew this because I saw the reaction of children around me. We have some children that live upstairs. And all the mother told me, you know, my child is just frightened to death. You know, he's completely paralyzed with fear over this hurricane that's coming. And I wasn't, but, you know, when I saw that he was, you know, I realized, wow, well, the media must be really hyping this a lot. And, like, why would they be hyping this up so much? You know, I know that they don't want to be caught, you know, not warning us in advance of how bad something is. But then again, you know, there seems to be this, you know, I went to Home Depot, and I had to wait online for a generator. There were 100 people that bought generators in front of me. And I was like, wow, look at the consumption that goes on during a crisis.
Absolute consumption during a crisis.
And then I thought, well, you know, what happened 5 days before the hurricane? An earthquake hit, like a 5.9, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how likely was that, you know, that earthquake happened just before the hurricane? And then, you know, I dismissed that as probable paranoia. And then a friend of mine just told me an hour ago that another earthquake hit right during the hurricane in upstate New York. And I'm thinking, well, what's going on here? You know, how advantageous would it be to, you know, the corporate powers that be that want to, like, frack the hell out of New York and take all of our gas and petroleum out from under us and are encountering all this resistance from the activist community? How advantageous would it be for them to have, you know, massive damage done to the infrastructure of the East Coast from an earthquake, and then a hurricane sweep through and finish everything off? It just seems to me that, you know, this scenario cannot be dismissed as paranoia.
No, not paranoia, Scott, but you can see you're shaken. You know, I like I said, I've been around a long, long time, and someone said to me, what are you going to do about the storm? I said, well, it's weather. It's weather. I had a friend come in from Germany one time, and he said to me, nowhere else in the world did they put weather on the front page. He said, The weather goes on the back page somewhere. He said, and basically, there are so many things that could happen to a human. The death of someone close to you. The loss of something dear to you.
Yeah.
Divorce. Divorce could happen to you. You could get audited by the IRS, and they could occupy your life for a period of time. You could get sued by somebody. You could lose your license over something if you have one. All of these things are these big, huge events that take up a lot of time, a lot of energy, but you learn over time. It's just another weather. You go through it. You'll get through it. And once you get that feeling, I'll get through it. You know, you don't have those reactions that these people seem to have. So I don't know if there was a master plot around this one, but I sure saw the way it worked, and I sure saw that people are easy to drive out of their minds. And that's a very important observation for me. Yeah. I know how vulnerable people are to be driven to either violence, cowardice, any number of things. And that scared me a little.
I saw it firsthand at Home Depot. There was, you know, the police had to come and disperse the crowd. This was like the crowd that were online to get generators. This was before they had created this is before somebody stepped up, an employee from Home Depot, and created a little system, a list that you put your name on with a phone number, and they created basically a line to wait on. You know, you got your number.
Did you feel fear?
I didn't feel fear, like, personally so much as a lot of tension and aggression. Even I felt my own aggression because, you know, I wasn't on that line of 100 people. And after they had gotten theirs, there were about 20 generators left. And, you know, I'm being, you know, I'm kind of confessing here that I felt a little bit of aggression to get that generator, and I knew that I was first online, you know? And
it's amazing how they get you.
In front of us.
You know, sure, it's amazing. Yeah, see, this is the idea. The idea is that we can have that engendered in us. So that desperation sits somewhere.
Yeah.
And you're a very wise man. I mean, you're a guy who knows himself very, very well. So you're not as vulnerable to it.
Well, I try not to be. You know, I try not to let the hysteria take over. My wife is Brazilian, and she's always noticing, you know, how easily, you know, Americans are whipped into an hysteria, or, you know, they use the word nervoso. It means, you know,
yeah, she had a good word
for
you.
Control your nerves.
She has a great antidote. She should say to you every time you get nervous, she should say samba. Just samba.
Well, we dance samba at home.
So that's what I mean. That's what you should do. Just samba. Samba is terrific. Thanks a lot for calling in.
You got it. Armand, can I just say one more thing?
Sure.
Just, you know, like after 9/11, when, you know, so many people nowadays clearly recognize that the media is not telling the truth, and they refuse to tell the truth when it's properly investigated. As has been done in the case of 9/11, you know, scientific investigations have been done. They receive no media attention because it's not on the agenda of the media and the people that they serve. So all I have to say is, you know, the people is keep your eyes open because the wolves are out there, and, you know, you cannot trust the mainstream media to tell you what's really going on.
Thank you very much for calling in. Thank you. You see, but the other thing is, remember what I said about irritability?
Yeah.
We want a lie. We want you to lie to us. We want the media to scare us. It fixates us. It raises our dopamine. It makes us feel chemically involved. It feels so much different than being just threatened and vulnerable. So we're inviting the lie all the time.
Yeah.
So that's why people watch Channel 5. I mean, you know, it says scare
me. They want to be part of the group,
that,
you know?
That crowd think. Yeah. Hey, thank you again for calling in. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille talking about your feelings about what we went through here. Let's hear another from another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my experience is very different from the one you've been discussing.
Mm-hmm.
I came home on Friday. I live in a high-rise, so people were afraid we would lose power. But people were introducing themselves, and these two gentlemen who just moved into the building had refreshments. And they said, if something happens, hey, come up. We have beer, and we're going to have a party going. And so sometimes what we see, I thought the last gentleman, Scott, was very paranoid.
Mm-hmm. Now, paranoid's a big word. You mean a little too frightened?
No, with the two earthquakes and... the media, and I mean, yes, the media overreact, but it's a story, and people, because we're so protected in the United States, every little thing does scare us.
So you get angry at people who get worried, don't you?
No, it's not that. It's just that I think what everybody seems to be missing, it's not like there's a state out there of something. It's how we are inside.
And how are you inside?
I mean, I was a little bit afraid about losing the power, so I took some precautions, but I thought, okay, if we lose the power, as long as I have some water, I'll make do. And, you know, frankly speaking, a couple of people called me up before the storm and said, hey, if you need us to drive out because the trains and subways had stopped, we'll do. And I felt good.
Felt good to have the people caring for you that much.
Yes, and also when I went shopping, people were joking, oh, the lines are so... And I thought there was a lot of levity.
Ah, so that's very interesting now. So therefore, you're saying there are three possible experiences.
No, one Armand, is, there's many, not one, two, or three. Things aren't gray or black. People really vary, and sometimes I hear you really jump to this means that, and this means that.
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't ever mean to do that again.
Are you being sarcastic?
Did I jump just now? I said there are three different approaches.
Yeah, there's many. We are very people.
Five, maybe seven.
Well, you know, I mean, I know you're making a joke of it, or maybe you're not. Maybe you're...
You seem too harsh. You seem angry at me in the way you responded to me. You seemed ready to jump down my throat. So I'm saying I am
a little bit, because I think, like, yeah, you were coddling the last guy.
Oh, you see, but I coddle people.
No, you
I'm even coddling you right now.
No, actually, you're not. And
but
you
sure
know what?
I
hear sometimes you don't coddle people, and sometimes with a joke you deflect something.
That's right. Yeah. So I understand that you
And
have,
I'm a fan of yours. It's not like that.
I could tell you wouldn't be listening to this show or calling me right now. What's your name?
Jennifer.
Jennifer, I know you are. In fact, you've called before.
Actually, no, this is my first time.
No, this is your very first time?
Yes, because I used to live in D.C. and I wasn't aware of this show.
Oh, now you are, huh? Yeah, you see, Jennifer, I think certain people, and I'm not going to say this is true of Scott, but I think certain people have to have their right to their own feelings.
And I think
the door, and let me finish speaking, okay? And I think the door to people's heart is to hear them where they are. And then if you show them that you could hear where they are, you could introduce something that's just a little different. But I don't think it happens by direct confrontation. I mean, it may, and I would confront anything evil, anything offensive, anything that would come directly at me. I would even object to people calling people by names, like paranoid and things like that. I won't let that happen. I'll stop that.
Well, you used the word in the beginning of the show.
I did.
Yes.
What did I say?
You said that people get when you
get paranoid. Yes, but I would never use that about a person. See,
Scott used it about himself, and
I know,
said maybe I'm getting paranoid. So that's, you know.
I know, Jennifer. I know. So listen, where are you?
Yeah, you seem to know everything, and that's not very open.
I know everything.
I wonder, do you look at yourself?
Never, Jennifer.
But maybe you should do a show about your own defense mechanism.
You know, actually, I did do a program about that, which you could get by going to my website and looking up the interview with me.
What's that? How do we do that?
You go to thepositivemind.com, and then you look at pre-recordings, you look at archive shows, and look up the interview with Armand DeMille. Okay? And you'll find all of the stuff about my history and my personality. And you're a lovely person, and I thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay, it's a pleasure. What part of town do you live in, by the way?
I'm on the borderline of Tribeca. I'm pretty much in Tribeca.
In Tribeca. You know, people like to party in Tribeca. You know, they just like to party in Tribeca. It's like out on the island, like on Fire Island, where you threaten them with a storm and they say, we're not going anywhere. You know, Tribeca's a lively place. You're not gonna get the kind of mood. In a lot of places, people got really scared in high rises.
I'm sure they did, but I also think that sometimes we see what's in us. We look for affirmation of what's within us.
Yep, I see you do. Thank you so much for calling in, Jennifer.
Okay, bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. See, you listen. You know, you listen with special ears. Right? Watsu? Was it Watsu? Who said, every battle is won before it's begun. So if you're in the middle of a battle and the battle's happening, coming right in your direction, you've already lost it. Hey, 212-209-2900, we're going to be right back. We're going to take a short break. I've got some special music for you, one that I think you will particularly like, Jennifer, and then we'll take more of your calls. We'll be right back.
Let's start messing around. Who is to
One of the easiest things that I remember saying to clients when they come to see me is this profound, profound statement, which is, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. People who are abused, it's not your fault. People who are scared, it's not your fault. People who are angry, it's not your fault. It may be a fault, but it's not your fault. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM, taking your calls at 212-209-2900. So there we've heard from Anne, who called, and then Scott, and then Jennifer threw me off. Yep, she threw me off. I didn't expect it. He came in, and I realized, ooh, she's criticizing me. Oop, she's criticizing me again. Oop, I'm getting another criticism. And I got defensive. Unusually defensive. I never get defensive, but I was getting, I'm even sarcastic. Not that I'm like when I'm defensive and sarcastic. So, Jennifer, you got me. And it's all right. Just that you guys should not think that looking at, he handled them all well. No, I didn't handle that one very well. Give him my name and phone number. 212-209-2900. Please forgive my imperfections. Hey, 212-209-2900. And nobody called me talking about Jennifer. I don't want to hear you saying then something about Jennifer, because Jennifer's a good human. But, you know, respect is such an interesting word. You know that Rodney Dangerfield thing? I got no respect. Respect. I can't get any respect. You know, respect is, believe it or not, to feel or show deferential regard or esteem for another person. Deferential regard. Now that means I think nicely of you, and I think highly of you. So therefore, I respect you. I have respect for you. Now that's something that is very nice to feel. Respect is beautiful. I love to feel respect for the people I'm dealing with, you know? But we're taught and punished for not having respect for elders, teachers. You got to respect alligators, right? They're vicious. Dogs, wild dogs, you got to respect wild dogs. You got to respect priests, rabbis, ministers, school teachers. Well, how do you respect someone if you don't feel a differential regard for them? So then the word becomes, respect is because they have a gun. They hold more power. So now what you're showing is deference, but not respect. I like respect. I like that feeling. I like it's kind of an admiration, you know. Now, the alpha male and the alpha female of any animal group or fauna or flora, the top ones, they get respect because they're so big they could eat you up. So is respect synonymous with power? Not necessarily, especially among humans. I mean, do you respect Gandhi? Do you respect someone who does beautiful work? You know, some of the people I work with, they do awesome work, awesome work. I have such respect for them. People I work with, even people who work in my office, you know, great respect. So that's a nice feeling. Now, what happens between couples as they get older, as they begin seeing each other's kinks, you know, and they see what part of the other person is needy or sloppy, and you start losing respect for your partner. Now, that's a kind of a sad thing. because you get older and you see couples who don't respect each other. And I'd like to do something about that. I'd like to find a way to regenerate that, but certainly not by demand. So it's a funny word, this respect. It's a funny word, but it is something that I put on my agenda as the people who I feel that for. How many people do you have in your life that you respect? And if you have none, it's a very interesting life you lead. If you only respect people of the same sex but not the opposite sex, now you're in trouble. Because usually that means you have problems really directly with your mother or father, usually the father. Because there would be no real difference. 212-209-2900 is our number here. We're taking your calls today. We will be with you today and tomorrow. As you know, WBAI has shifted schedules all up and down and sideways. And so if you ever want to know when we're on the air, you could just check with the Facebook related to the Positive Mind, and we keep that fairly accurate. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
Hi. First of all, I love your voice. You and Bob Fast have, like, the best voices on BAI.
I want to sing with Bob. You know, I'm going to get... I saw Bob the other day down at a meeting at WBAI, and I wanted to propose to him that we do a show together.
It would be
great. I figured it would be just like music.
It would be great.
Because I love his voice.
And yours, too. I mean, you two guys are just, you know... I mean, the best. And I just wanted to ask you, well, first of all, with the storm, I went out and played in it. I grew up in Florida part of my childhood, and a Hurricane 1, a Category 1, was something that you'd go and play in as a kid. Now, you'd put the towel on, and you'd pretend you were Superman. You'd jump into the wind, and it would blow you until your mom would call you back in the house.
Great.
So it was a lot of fun. But speaking, I want to have a question. You know, Dr. Wayne Dyer tells that story about the woman on the beach, I guess, in the storm, and then washes the kid out.
No,
and then,
no, I don't know the story.
And the child gets, three-year-old boy gets washed out to the ocean, and the woman looks into the sky and she says, God, I don't know if you're there or not, but if you're there, bring my son back. And the next wave comes in and brings the son right to her feet, and she looks up into the sky again, and she screams, he was wearing a red hat. So what I wanted to ask you, Armand, is why is it so many progressive people have, and you said something early in the show, and someone before you, another host, I'm not going to mention names, was just on an angry diatribe about this. And you're subtle. I like the way you're very subtle. But... why is it that so many progressive people look at Iraq and don't see a thriving democracy, don't see that their last election had a higher voter turnout percentage to the population than our last election did, and can't look at that? And the reason I ask is if we are not letting the Iraqis and the Arab world know that this is how we stand, that something great is coming out of this, why should they trust us? Or in other words... It's like the inner city schools, Armand. The kids fail here because they don't appreciate it. You see the Chinese kids come here and they thrive because all the people here is, oh, it's terrible. The schools are terrible. And so what I'm saying is, why I look at Iraq and say, well, hey, guys, you know, there's something good coming out of it.
Well, wait. Let me back you up just a little bit as we do on the program, I really am concerned not just so much with the intellectual thought, but the sadness that this brings to you. You know, now, what's your name, by the way?
Bill.
Bill, if you'd settle back, rather than being, of course, angry at the people who get angry, does it make you sad? Because it makes me sad. I get...
Well, I just don't understand it.
When you don't understand, do you get sad?
Well, no. What happens is I see... it all as ingratitude. And when you have gratitude for the freedoms that we have, well, you know, what's wrong with them having that? What's wrong with them having
the freedom? I'm still asking you one question.
Yeah.
The question I'm asking you is about what you feel.
I feel a little frustrated.
Yeah, you feel a little angry, right?
Yeah. I feel like liberals have to just kind of grow up sometimes and realize, instead of calling in conspiracy theories, Osama bin Laden confessed
Bill.
He confessed.
Bill, thank you. Thank you so much. But I understand your irritability. I understand the way you feel about it. You see, underneath all that, I believe there's a deep sadness. Because every one of us want to be able to love freely and non-defensively. But the world is a little rougher than that. Thank you for calling in. Thank you. Thank you. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Armand, this is Bob from Scarsdale.
Hey, Bob. How's the weather up there?
Fine today. Wasn't so great on Saturday night. The reason I'm calling is more of a psychological problem. I was very calm about the storm coming and got, you know, well prepared. And we usually get water in our basement, and sometimes more, sometimes less. But I may have been too calm because my wife is a worrier. Like a constant worrier, and also she panicked when she saw that the storm was coming. And the more she watched the television, the more she got panicked.
Poor lady.
And I tried to make light of it, you know, the storm coming, and, you know, it's not so bad. But the more she got to watch TV and heard all of the dire forecasts, the worse she got. And there was nothing that I could say to her that would calm her down. So, and also she's somewhat phobic about rain.
Mm-hmm.
Normally when it just rains,
So that's an additional trigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what happened as a result of it? Are you two alienated from each other?
No. I mean, we wrote it out. It wasn't as bad as we both thought. And she's fine. But I don't know how to relate to her when she's in this panic mode.
That's good. Good question. Let me help you out with this, Bob. Bob, are you an older brother, by the way?
I'm sort of in the middle.
And do you take care, tend to put out fires around you? Do you tend to be the kind of person who doesn't like to get angry, and then if people get angry, you help them explain things?
Yes.
Is that you? You know, like, could you have been a fireman?
Yes, possibly, yeah.
Right? So this is you. This is your thing. You calm things down. The people who calm things down generally are missing excitement in their lives. Because they're making everything calm.
Right.
So they, strangely enough, they choose as partners people who get hyper-excited because they like the excitement, because the excitement puts fire in your oven, you see?
Mm-hmm.
If not, you're just sitting there with coals. So you love this excitable part of your wife because it's creative, it's a certain way, she's energetic, she's loving. But on the other hand, she, who is excitable, picked somebody like you because you're a cave, you're a solid rock. You're a guy who is there being the calm. So the two of you work together. When something triggers the balance and sends her off into a tizzy, your tools don't necessarily work immediately, but you feel confused by it. You did exactly right. As you see, it passed. You have just learned that sometimes she could get hyper-excited, and all you need to do is be there for her. And no matter what you say and no matter what you do, it's going to work.
Okay.
All you need to do is be present, and you're not going to logic her out of it. The logic isn't going to work one bit.
No, it didn't work.
All that works is your relative calmness, taking her seriously, but your relative calmness in the face of the panic. And if you want the one thing that she could do when she's feeling this panic, if you put your hand on her body, make sure it doesn't move. Your hand has to be solid. She has to get the feeling that there's an anchor to the earth.
Right, because she said to me that I didn't comfort her enough, or I didn't.
Yeah, I'm sure.
give her any positive feedback or whatever, but I didn't, you know, I wasn't feeling like this was a major deal.
Of course you weren't. So she's asking you, when something makes me feel like it's a major deal, would you please at least look like you take me seriously?
Mm-hmm, right.
Okay. I'll look like I take you seriously.
Mm-hmm. Because I didn't really.
It's okay. It's okay that you didn't, because she loves you and you're still together.
Right.
But
right.
What she's asking you to do is, when she feels panic, she wants you to be a little more present, saying, I can see what you're feeling, instead of arguing her out of it.
Right.
That's
right.
All. It's a small thing. The two of you sound like you got a wonderful thing going.
But
do you love your wife?
The media.
Do you have a great love for your wife?
Well, thank you.
Do you have a great love for your wife, I'm asking you?
Oh, do I have it?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
How long have you been with her?
About 12 years.
Wow. She's not listening to the radio right now, huh?
No.
Okay. Yeah. She wouldn't listen to this. But could you imagine that you can later play this on an archive? See, you could play this program on an archive.
I was thinking of doing that.
Okay, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell her right now what you love about her the most.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I want you to just say it. You don't even have to use her name. But just imagine.
I love her for her...
Say it directly to her. I love you.
I love you for your love for me, and I love you for all the things that you care about other people, that she's a very caring person.
Say, keep talking to her directly. You're a very caring person, and I love you very much.
And I love you very much, and I would never want anything to happen to you, and I love the way that... You come across and think about me and how you stuck along with me. I've had some major medical problems, so her sense of loyalty to me.
That's beautiful, Don. Thank you very much for calling in. Make sure you replay this for her and let her hear it.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure.
Okay.
212-209-2900. Let's take one more call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. One more. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Hello.
Hello there.
Armando, how are you? It's Omar from the Big Mango here.
Omar, good for you.
Yeah, it's good. It's good hearing you and your advice. And, you know, when people criticize you, brother, you're a champion. So you never took a dive in your life, and you never will.
Yeah, I don't know. Make me an offer.
You know, I'm up here in Harlem, and I'm listening to all of these reports, and Harlem has to be the God's country of real estate, because we had very, very little damage up here. We were just sending positive energy into the universe, and the worst that I heard was my neighbor, his ceiling fell through, and so we're all helping him, get his apartment together. But other than that, it was really nothing. And as far as that earth tremor that we had right before that, I was with my grandson in the park, and we were having lunch. I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel nothing at all. I was right in the park where Tupac Shakur did his movie Above the Rim years ago, may he rest in peace. And I lived in Antigua, where, I don't know if you're familiar.
You know storms.
Yeah, so we have a lot of earth tremors. Back then, we were in the waterbed business, my former spouse and I, and we used to see the waterbeds 3, 4, 5 times a month. We'd have what we call earth tremors, because you have that volcano, Lucifer, that goes right through the Windward Islands. But here, I think that here in New York, we got off lightly. We really got off lightly.
Omar, you know, we got off appropriately. That's all I can say. And maybe you're right. Harlem may be God's country. It's really amazing.
Well, I can see why people want to move up here, because I spoke to my neighbors, and most of them said they had no flooding in their basements. Myself, I just had to put a little bucket of water in my gallery, my hall gallery outside, and I got maybe a quarter inch of water, and that was it. We didn't have any damage at all.
Well, Omar, I think you're going to get a lot of neighbors.
I know.
Soon. There's going to be a migration heading up. Thank you for very much for calling in.
Okay, my brother, and right. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Tomorrow. Be back with you tomorrow, my friends. Sure. This is Armand DeMille with... thanks for calling in, friends. 212-209-2900. Hey, you can go to the website, thepositivemind.com. Send me an email through that, okay?